This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of June 16th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad Cop No Donut!
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut!
He's under law! And I rule!
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto.
Anytime that you're talking about a public servant and a situation like this, we're very concerned about those kind of things. I think Grave really says it all. They're very, very serious, and we take them very seriously.
A state trooper in Woodbury, Minnesota, has been charged with sexually assaulting his 15-year-old babysitter. KARE reports that Lieutenant Scott Troutner has been charged with 7 counts of criminal sexual misconduct. The victim says that Troutner assaulted her in the home that he shares with his wife, who is also a state trooper. The girl was spending the night at the couple's home after spending the day attending a Christmas parade. She said that she was watching television with the trooper in his home when he changed the channel to one that showed pornography, touched the girl in a sexual manner, undressed her, and then performed oral sex on her. She also claims that he tried to force her to perform a sex act on him, but that she refused. The girl first reported the incident after attending a domestic abuse seminar at her school in April. A Palm Beach County, Florida sheriff's deputy was sentenced last week to life in prison for molesting 3 boys who were participating in the sheriff's department's youth training program in 1993. The Associated Press reports that the 3 victims, who are all now adults, testified at the trial of Deputy Gervasio Torres. Torres was convicted on the charges that he had sex with the 3 boys by a jury earlier this year. He will be eligible for parole in 25 years. Prosecutors have requested a trial date for another molestation charge against the deputy. Torres maintains his innocence. A 4th Broward County, Florida sheriff's deputy has been charged in an ongoing scandal involving false confessions and other fabricated evidence. The Associated Press says that Deputy Edwin Arias was charged with 5 felony counts of official misconduct last Friday. He is one of 4 officers accused of making up confessions and blaming crimes on a dead man and a man who was in prison at the time that the alleged crimes were committed. Arias is free on bail and has been suspended from his job with pay. 1 deputy who cooperated with the investigation and pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge has been fired from his job. 2 other deputies pleaded not guilty to their charges and have been suspended with pay pending the results of their trials. More arrests are expected in this case.
We were hoping, a lot of people in the neighborhood were hoping that he'd get caught, whoever the person was, just hoping that they would catch him for the sake of the children, as well as the neighborhood.
A police sergeant in New York City has been charged in the 2001 shooting death of his ex-girlfriend in a dispute over child support payments. An Associated Press report says that Sergeant Martin Peters was ordered held without bail on Tuesday after he pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder, assault, and other charges. Peters' former girlfriend was found shot several times in the back of her head in her apartment on January 16, 2001. A witness to the killing recently changed his story to implicate Peters. A police officer in Summers Point, New Jersey, pleaded guilty to charges connected to an attempted sexual rendezvous with a person who he thought was a 12-year-old girl in 2001. According to the Bridgeton News, Officer Lawrence Ceres, who is currently retired, pleaded guilty to second-degree endangerment of a child, third-degree attempted endangerment of a child, and 4th-degree possession of child pornography. In August 2001, the officer arranged a meeting on the internet with an undercover officer posing as a 12-year-old. The child pornography was discovered during a search of his personal computer. Sentencing for Ceres has not yet been scheduled. A police officer in Camden, New Jersey, has been charged with beating his own son. The South Jersey Courier Post reports that Officer Toussaint Spratley is accused in an arrest warrant of beating his 7-year-old son on May 20th. He allegedly punched the boy 2 times in the chest and later the same day beat the boy repeatedly with a belt. He was arrested while on duty a few days later. He posted $15,000 bail the same day. Spratley has been suspended from his job. A police officer in Streeter, Illinois, who was charged in a domestic dispute last month, has resigned from his job this week. The Streeter Times-Press says that Officer Robert Kearney has been charged with aggravated assault, domestic battery, and harassment by telephone. He was accused of making threats of bodily harm while holding a gun to his own head at his girlfriend's apartment. Kearney had been placed on paid administrative leave until he resigned.
People are very much in, have it very much on their minds, and like I said, it was a tragic situation.
Just from what I've heard and read in the paper and stuff, the town is behind him as far as I know.
A sheriff's deputy in Shelby County, Iowa, is on trial this week for manslaughter. According to the Des Moines Register, Deputy Chad Butler was indicted by a grand jury on manslaughter charges after he shot a man in the head after a chase in December. According to witnesses, the man was reaching for his cell phone when he was shot to death. Butler is the first Iowa officer indicted in a fatal shooting in the past 15 years. In the past 18 months, Iowa police have killed 11 people. In Mason City, Iowa, a police officer is on trial this week on charges of third-degree sexual abuse. According to the Mason City Globe-Gazette, Officer Daniel Mason faces 10 years in prison if convicted of this charge. Mason, however, is also facing two upcoming trials on other charges. On August 16th, he will face trial again on a separate charge of third-degree sexual abuse. On September 13th, he faces a trial on a charge of second-degree burglary and assault with intent to commit sexual abuse. Each of those charges is an additional possible 10 years in prison. Mason was placed on administrative leave when he was first charged in the case he is currently on trial for in December 2004. A former police officer in Crane, Missouri, pleaded guilty this week to sexually assaulting his wife's 13-year-old granddaughter. The Branson Daily News reports that former officer Bruce Grimes, who is now 67, was charged with multiple counts of incest, first-degree statutory rape, and first-degree statutory sodomy. Grimes pleaded guilty to two of the charges in exchange for having the other 14 charges dropped. He is expected to be sentenced to 17 years, very likely the remainder of his life, in prison. In accordance with state law, Grimes must serve at least 85% of his sentence before being released. He was turned in by his wife, who suspected that he was molesting the girl. She claims that when she confronted him, he bragged that he would never be arrested. A police officer in King City, Oregon, was arrested last Friday for sexually abusing a boy he met on the internet. A report in the Oregonian says that Officer Brandon Tompkins was charged with two counts of second-degree sexual abuse after a two-month investigation. Tompkins is currently free and on paid leave from the police department. He's facing a maximum of 5 years in prison and a $125,000 fine on each of his charges if he is convicted. Three police officers in Toledo, Oregon, have been accused of beating a man relentlessly for over an hour and 40 minutes and severely injuring him without provocation. A report in the Newport News Times says that the three officers, Mark Fandry, Eric Gulbranson, and Colin Team, beat the man in front of a substantial number of witnesses on May 21st. Many of the witnesses and the victim of the beating attended a city council meeting earlier this month where they voiced their concerns. They described an escalating pattern on the part of Toledo police officers. Frustrated by what they see as poor reporting of police abuse by the local media, some community members have started a newsletter called The People's Voice to keep their communities informed about government corruption and police brutality.
He was always optimistic. And he's very pleased. He's quite eager to move forward, and he's eager to be exonerated at a jury trial.
This is a new case. It's a stronger case. The presumption is no bond in murder cases, and I would fully expect there would be no bond in this case.
Our first efforts will be concentrated on getting Dave back out of jail.
A state trooper in Indiana who was accused of killing his family was denied bail this week. WXIX reports that David Cam had previously been convicted of the crime, but the conviction was overturned. He will be held in custody until his new trial, which is expected to start on August 8th. 13 Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies who were involved in an incident in Compton, California that ended in 120 shots being fired at an unarmed suspect have been disciplined internally. An Associated Press report says that one deputy has been suspended for 15 days. The others will receive either shorter suspensions or written reprimands.
No, it was not unexpected. In fact, we expected this to happen first. But like I said, this little battle is not over with.
The former sheriff in Cameron County, Texas, was charged last Thursday with running a criminal enterprise while he was in office. An Associated Press account of the story says that Sheriff Conrado Cantu was engaged in extortion, drug trafficking, and witness tampering. He is also accused of offering information regarding investigations to drug traffickers and operators of an illegal gambling operation in exchange for tens of thousands of dollars. Cantu has been charged with conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute cocaine and marijuana, obstruction, money laundering, extortion, and being a member of a criminal enterprise engaged in a pattern of racketeering activity. A police officer in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, is on trial this week after being charged with assaulting his ex-wife's new boyfriend. According to the Allentown Morning Call, Officer Leonard Schapulski assaulted the man in his home last November. In addition to the assault charge, the officer also faces two charges of harassment, one for slapping his wife and another related to the assault incident. A police officer in Providence, Rhode Island, pleaded no contest last week to charges that he participated in a plan to rob drug suspects. An Associated Press report says that Officer Robert Autieri has been charged with seven felonies, including first-degree robbery, using a firearm while committing a crime of violence, and assault with a dangerous weapon. Two other people also pleaded no contest to related charges last week. Prosecutors say that the officer helped plan the robberies, which had so far stolen $24,000 during drug transactions. Autieri remains free on bail until he is sentenced in July. The officer has been suspended from the police department. A police officer in Albany, Georgia, pleaded guilty last week to charges that he offered an undercover officer money in exchange for sex. WALB reports that Officer Lynn Johnson was arrested in November, and after pleading guilty to pandering this week, he was sentenced to 12 months probation and a $500 fine. Johnson resigned from the department after he was charged. Another Albany officer pleaded not guilty this week to charges of theft and identity fraud. Officer Demetra Gaskins was fired from the department after being charged with stealing people's social insurance numbers and using them to fraudulently open cell phone accounts. A police officer in Charleston, West Virginia, was sentenced to home confinement this week for helping his criminal lover hide money from illegal drug sales. The Associated Press says that Officer William Hart pleaded guilty in January to theft or embezzlement of U.S. government property, a misdemeanor. He will also serve 5 years of probation, pay $3,000 in restitution, and perform 120 hours of community service. Hart resigned from the police department after a 2-year leave last September. A police officer in Blacksburg, Virginia, was arrested last week and charged with misdemeanor assault and battery. WSLS reports that Officer Brian Rowe was accused of pushing a woman to the ground during an argument over a set of keys. Rowe is facing less than 1 year in jail and a $2,500 fine if he is convicted. A former Virginia sheriff's deputy and police officer has been charged with two counts of first-degree murder. The Charlottesville Daily Progress says that Jamie Lee Daniel shot and killed his wife and son in their Florida home. Daniel is being held without bail. A police officer in Concord, North Carolina, has been charged with prescription and insurance fraud. According to the Concord Independent Tribune, Officer Dana Beninati was arrested last Wednesday and charged with 23 counts of prescription fraud, 23 counts of insurance fraud, and attempted prescription fraud. Each charge is a felony. The fraudulent prescriptions were charged to the city's insurance plan. Beninati was suspended without pay pending completion of her trial. She's facing up to 15 years in prison if convicted. Two sheriff's department officers in Chambers County, Alabama, have been charged under a new law that prevents the sexual assault of people who are being held in custody. According to an Associated Press report, officers Derek Burton and Brian Fuller have each been charged with custodial sexual misconduct, Burton with two counts, Fuller with one. Each charge is punishable by up to 10 years in state prison. Both officers have been fired. A police officer in Newport, Kentucky, is being sued for beating a man during an arrest last year. The Cincinnati Inquirer says that Officer Chad Cunningham is accused of abusing, beating, and striking a man who he was arresting in his home for disorderly conduct in May 2004. The man claims that Cunningham also dragged him down a set of stairs after handcuffing him. Cunningham was suspended in May after an alleged domestic disturbance involving his wife. In that case, he was charged with first-degree wanton endangerment after he drove his car onto a sidewalk, striking his wife and knocking her to the ground. A police officer in Billings, Montana, who was charged with impaired driving when he rolled his car in January, has pleaded guilty to a lesser charge. The Billings Gazette says that Officer Shane Schaff pleaded guilty last week to misdemeanor reckless driving and was given a 90-day suspended sentence and ordered to pay a $300 fine. Schaff returned to work last month after being suspended for 1 week without pay. Schaff had called 911 twice to report the accident, but investigators say that he was not there when police arrived. His vehicle was left running, and a gun had been left in plain view. Schaff claimed he spent the night in a teepee after trying to walk home after the accident.
What we're dealing with now is an issue of internal discipline, and really what I'm asking the public to do is have confidence in my ability to deal with it. We're not interested in hiding anything. We want to deal with these issues. We all find them disappointing, and we want to make sure that that everybody in our organization knows that that's not appropriate and we won't tolerate it.
The acting chief of police in Edmonton, Alberta, has ordered an investigation into a racist email that was allegedly distributed among some police officers. The CBC reports that the email details 10 ways of dealing with First Nations people. The chief said that he found the email to be racist, disgusting, offensive, and disappointing. The mayor of Edmonton has said that the people responsible for sending the email should not be working as police officers. There are currently a number of ongoing investigations into alleged misconduct by Edmonton police officers. A series of scandals led to the firing of the last Edmonton police chief in February. Edmonton officers are currently being investigated for taking gifts from a private photo radar company, pepper spraying a man and then stuffing him into the trunk of their car, and targeting a journalist who had been critical of the police in a drunk driving sting. A retired police officer in Hawkesbury, Ontario, has been arrested and charged with stealing money from a church where he was a volunteer. According to the Ottawa Sun, Mio Villeneuve was charged on Sunday with theft under $5,000 and released on his own recognizance the same day. The amount of money stolen was not disclosed. Police were investigating a pattern of thefts which occurred since 2002. But Villeneuve is only charged with thefts over a 2-week period this year. He faces a maximum 2-year prison term if he is found guilty. Police in Kingston, Ontario, who participated in a widely reported racial profiling study, are now rejecting the findings of that study. A Canadian press report says that the Kingston Police Union has dismissed the study as flawed and claims that the media attention which focused on the results of the study maligned the Kingston Police Department. After the results of the study were made public, the chief of the Kingston Police made a tearful apology to the city's Black and First Nations communities for what he described as systematic problems in his department. In the study conducted by the University of Toronto, the frontline officers themselves collected the data that was analyzed. These are the same officers who say the findings of the study are incorrect and that racial profiling does not exist.
The officer chose at that time, instead of using lethal force against Mr. Williams, used less than lethal, used a taser, which had no effect at all on him. He started flailing his arms, knocking the probes out. He was tased actually three more times.
A man died last Tuesday in Las Vegas, Nevada, after being shocked at least twice with a taser after he refused to leave a hotel casino. The two officers involved in that incident have been placed on administrative leave. A man died on Saturday in West Park, Florida, after being shocked with a taser by Broward County Sheriff's deputies. That man was the seventh person to die after being shocked with one of the devices in South Florida since 2002. A man died on Monday in Putnam County, Florida, after he was shocked by sheriff's deputies three times with a taser. On Tuesday, a 62-year-old man died after being shocked four times with a taser by police in Waco, Texas. Around 130 deaths have now been linked to tasers. Police in Lorain, Ohio, shocked a 12-year-old with a taser last week. The 12-year-old boy was involved in a minor altercation on a school bus when he was shocked by the officers. The boy was charged with assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest, as well as theft of a compact disc case. Police in Lorain, Ohio, also used a taser on a 16-year-old boy on Sunday night. The boy was shocked as he hid from police officers beneath the porch at someone's residence. The former acting police chief in Concrete, Washington, is facing charges after he used a taser on his dog and on his 15-year-old brother-in-law. Chris Roth was charged with reckless endangerment and animal cruelty. A police officer in Apopka, Florida, used a taser on an Ocoee police officer who was involved in a road rage incident last Friday. The officer that was shocked quit his job one day later. A family in El Paso, Texas, say several police officers used tasers on a handcuffed man who was arrested at a graduation party last week. Another complaint of inappropriate taser use has been made against police in Lafayette, Louisiana, where a man claims he was pepper sprayed and shocked with a taser when police came to a barbecue held at the home of his brother. The man, who was charged with resisting arrest, claims he was tasered several times by officers who had no valid reason to be at his brother's home in the first place. The Lafayette Police Department is already being sued over two other taser-related incidents. Last August, a man was tasered 17 times by officers. The other suit was filed by the family of a man who died after being shocked with one of the allegedly non-lethal devices. The family of a man who died after being shocked with a taser by police in Lake City, Florida, has filed a lawsuit against Taser International, the company which manufactures the devices. The man died last March in hospital after losing consciousness after being shocked, and became the third person to die after being shocked by a police taser in Northeast Florida. The other taser deaths were in Nassau County in March 2002 and St. Augustine in February 2004. The British Columbia Police Complaints Commissioner is recommending new restrictions on police taser use in that province. In a report prepared by a medical review panel, it was suggested that tasers should not be used on people who are not actively resisting officers or physically threatening them. The report also cautioned against repeated taser use. The full report can be read online at www.opcc.bc.ca. Police in Albuquerque, New Mexico, have changed their taser use policy. Officers will no longer be allowed to use the devices on people who are offering only passive resistance. The change in policy is the result of the May 20th death of a man who was shocked by an Albuquerque police taser. Police in Wisconsin face new guidelines which will restrict taser use statewide. Tasers will no longer be used on people who are running away from officers, and officers should be trained to recognize the medical conditions that might put someone's life in danger if they are shocked. Children, the elderly, and people engaged in civil disobedience should not be shocked. 135 out of 620 law enforcement agencies use tasers. Another 174 are currently considering purchasing the weapons. Taser International announced on Monday that they have received an order for stun guns and other devices from the U.S. military. The deal, which will ship in the second quarter of this year, is worth almost $1.5 million.
That didn't work. At least they should have shot him, you know, below the head, instead of shooting him directly in the head and everything. I figured that was the wrong kind of force to use. They could have shot him in the arm or shot him in the leg or something. You know, if you shoot a person in the head, you know they're going to automatically be dead with 4 9-millimeter bullets in the head.
We don't want this to happen again. We don't want our youth to be scared to live in their own communities and to be scared that a police officer is going to kill them.
The suspect that night, he had a choice. The officer, she did not have a choice.
We must at some point hold people who break the law and injure our people accountable.
And the question is how many times and how many kids are going to be killed by the police before the city, the police, and the police chief gets serious about preventing this from happening.
Other than the killings already reported in this week's program, police also killed people this week in Austin, Texas, Liberty City, Florida, Orange County, Florida, and Mesa, Arizona. That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune into this station for more next week. If you'd like to contact us with story ideas or other comments, you can send an email to ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in articles for this week's show and stories which we're looking into for future shows. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich.
Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman coming with his gun. Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman's always on the run. Police, police, don't hear me please. Police, police, don't hear me please. You wanna see the damage you do when you bash it. You like no black mass blister. You like folks of that kind. And you don't care about us brothers and sisters. You don't care about the reason behind. AGV meant nothing to me. Till I saw his private body on TV. I hate a man in a uniform. I hate a man in a uniform. I hate a man. You wanna see the look in my eyes when you beat me. I guess you think that your crunch and hinge can't beat me.